The irony about the French movie thriller Tell No One is that word of mouth has made it a hit. Tell No One is based on the book of the same title by American author Harlan Coben. The film was shot in France, and it was a huge success there, but it took a while to make it into American theaters. Distributors thought it was too American for a French art house film, but a small distribution company took a chance on it, and the film has now grossed almost $3 million here in the 6 weeks it's been out. The success has, surprise, surprise, sparked talk of an American remake. In the film, we meet pediatrician Alexandre Beck.
Ah, mais tu sais, ça c'est pas vert.
Ça c'est orange.
C'est orange? Non, ça c'est bleu.
Beck's wife was thought to have been murdered 8 years before, until mysterious emails began appearing in his inbox. Beck had been suspected of killing his wife, but after the mystery emails, he begins his own investigation into his wife's apparent murder, in parallel with the French police, who have reopened the case. Guillaume Canet is the director of Tell No One and is on the phone from France. Harlan Coben, author of the book the movie's based on, is in New York. It's good to have you two creators of this movie with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Harlan Coben, were you apprehensive about a French adaptation of your book? Did you think it was possible?
At first I was. When Guillaume Canet started to call me and tell me his vision of this film, I first thought, who is this crazy young French guy calling wanting to make the movie? But once I started hearing his passion, and once I understood that Guillaume understood that Tell No One was a love story first and a thriller second, I just got in my heart that this guy really understood it. And I sometimes you go with your gut, and I just had a great feeling about him from the beginning. And obviously now with the success of Tell No One, not just over there, but now over here, I guess I was right.
And Guillaume Canet, what was it about reading the book? I mean, you're obviously sort of halfway through the book, and are you thinking to yourself, there's something here that I know would be perfect in a film? What was that?
The first thing was the character of Alexandre Beck, because this story could happen to anyone. And I love the fact that this guy was going through many things like a hero without being one. He has a normal life, and he had this terrible thing happen in his life. He lost his wife, and 8 years later, she sent him an email. So I love the fact that one man who is totally destructed is going to try to recover and finally get some hope in his life.
There's a scene in the movie where the police detective, Lefkowitz, sounds like a man on a mission. The bodies of two men linked to Beck's wife's murder have been found, but the detective has a hunch that Beck really is totally innocent, and he won't stop until everything makes sense.
C'est bourré de trous, cette affaire. Tout le monde le sait, mais tout le monde ferme sa gueule.
And Lefkowitz says, this investigation is full of holes, we all know it, and we all shut up. All I want is the truth.
Ce que je veux, c'est la vérité.
This is reminiscent, I think, of what happens in the 93 film, The Fugitive. Dr. Richard Kimball, played by Harrison Ford, is wrongly accused of the murder of his wife, and the film is built on a chase by the federal marshal, played by Tommy Lee Jones. Guillaume Canet, how much did American movies inspire you?
A lot. I mean, I've been inspired by lots of American directors, like Hitchcock, for sure, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Paul Thomas Anderson, yeah.
Scorsese, Michael Mann. What I like in a movie is that you not only work on the script and on the story, it's also on the way you're going to shoot it. And I think it's really important, especially now, because the audience, now are really educated, about cinema, and they've seen a lot of movies.
Right. I mean, it's kind of ironic that the film, which was made almost 2 years ago, huge success in France, but it took so long to come to the United States, it was deemed too American for a French art house film.
Exactly. That was the problem that we had with all the distributors told us that the movie was not like a French film. They couldn't sell it like a French film.
Well, you point out one of the reasons this movie is Tell No One's doing so well is that kind of combination. It's getting the people who normally would like a French film, but it's getting the people who miss those days of the great Alfred Hitchcock films, who miss movies like The Fugitive and Thinking Man's thrillers.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, Guillaume, Alexandre Beck, during that chase scene that everybody's been talking about, is actually helped to flee the police by hoodlums from the banlieue, the suburbs of Paris, where those riots kind of originated in 2005. Those hoodlums actually kind of emerge as the anti-heroes in your movie, and I'm just wondering, I see in here kind of old France versus new France all over the place in the movie. Were you conscious of that when you put this together?
Yes, for sure, but there was an idea of that in the book. I wanted to talk about the situation in France at this time when I directed it. All these images of the suburbs that were burning and everything. That was not everywhere,
Was it for you, Guillaume Canet, almost kind of a way of rehabilitating what Nicolas Sarkozy had said at the time when he was interior minister, that these people are scum?
Yeah, for sure. That's why I thought it was interesting and funny to have my lead character escape from Paris to go in the suburbs where it's supposed to be really dangerous to be helped. You know?
And if those characters looked real to you, it's because those really were, for the most part, Guillaume used people just off the streets who were members of whatever kind of groups or societies. And
it was funny, actually, because I had this shot where they are throwing a TV from the window on the police car, because I just wanted to be ironical about what Sarkozy said and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that was supposed to be a car without the engine. But when I finished the shot and I see the face of my producer, I realized it was not the good car.
But that wasn't a prop.
They destroyed the real police car. The prop car was fine.
Exactly.
When you see the movie, you'll see the TV dropped. That's on the real police car.
Something subconscious going on there.
Yeah.
There's some great current and American music, some soul music in the movie. Otis Redding is there, Jeff Buckley is there, even Groove Armada. The original music was composed by Mathieu Chédid, better known as M. Why choose such a kind of rock star to create music for your film?
Because I wanted the film to start and end with a love song. And in between, I knew this character who's going to be lonely. And the loneliness of this character made me think about a guitar. And that's why I went to see Mathieu Chédid, because he's the best guitarist in France and he's a real genius. What I thought was asking him to compose the music live, discovering the film in his studio, and he composed the music in 2 hours long, the length of the film.
You saying he composed the entire soundtrack in 2 hours?
Exactly. We just added some cello the day after, but we did it in one afternoon, and it was amazing to see that.
Yeah, we're hearing some of the music right now.
I actually didn't believe it myself until I saw it on DVD, that he really composed it in live time. And he won the César, which is the French version of the Oscar, for Best Sound, as well as Guillaume winning for Best
Director.
Yeah, he
won all the prizes in France.
For 2 hours of work. It wasn't bad.
Well, Guillaume Canet, director of Tell No One, and Harlan Coben, the author of the novel published in 2001 that the movie's based on, thank you both very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your support.
The song Hands of Time by Groove Armada, featured in the film Tell No One, concludes our program today.